Good morning. Welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church on this day when we celebrate the baptism of the Lord. We celebrate God's goodness each and every day. Welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending, we want to welcome you and express our hope that you'll find a home here with us. One way to do that is by taking part in what God is doing here at West End. You can find lots of opportunities to do that in your bulletin insert. I'm going to mention just a few, but I hope you'll read about all of them. First of all, this evening from 5 to 7 p.m. in McWhirter Hall, we are going to have a conversation talking about race in your community with the Reverend Dr. F. Willis Johnson, and I hope you'll be able to come and join us for that conversation. Dr. Johnson is a United Methodist pastor from Ferguson, Missouri, and we think that this is an important enough topic that we want to share that with two other churches. Both McKendree and Providence United Methodist are co-sponsoring this conversation. That's from 5 to 7 this evening in McWhorter Hall. Also at 5 p.m. here at the sanctuary is our monthly Tazay service. It's a time of quiet and prayer and singing. And if you feel a little fractured in your life, that your life is pulling you every direction, this is a place to come and center. The church offices will be closed tomorrow in observance of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. Don't forget to make your reservations for Wednesday night dinners. It really helps for us to have the appropriate amount of food if you tell us by Tuesday noon that you're coming. Also, next Sunday, we will begin a six-week series on, on the art of neighboring. And I know you all will want to be a part of that as well. So next week that begins and will continue for six Sundays. And a moment of celebration. In 2016, this congregation paid over 99% of its pledges. Less than 1% was left unpaid of the estimates of giving that we received. Churches usually count on that number being 3 to 5% loss. Often it's more than that. I just want to commend you on your faithfulness and remind you that it's not too late to turn in your estimate of giving for 2017. Wasn't that sneaky? Who in the world would take the lowest seat when they could take the highest seat? Who in the world would take the end of the line rather than the first of the line? Who in the world would choose the lowest place after a place of honor? Stick around. You'll find out.
Wash, O God, our sons and daughters, where your cleansing waters flow. Number them among your people, bless as Christ blessed long ago. Weave their garments bright and
Spirit of God, and rest upon us. God's Spirit works within us, stirring us to be holy people. Therefore, let us confess our sins and acknowledge our whole selves before God. God of love and grace, we confess that we do not always remember that we have been marked for love and service. We forget that you have called us by name. We ignore your message of hope. We behave in ways that do not promote peace and justice. Forgive us, O God. Turn us around. Connect. Transform. Serving others in Jesus' name. Hear these words. We are known and loved by our Creator. We are marked as God's children. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Matthew. At that time, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan River so John would baptize him. John tried to stop him and said, "I need to be baptized by you, yet you come to me?" Jesus answered, "Allow me to be baptized now. This is necessary to fulfill all righteousness." So John agreed to baptize Jesus. When Jesus was baptized, he immediately came up out of the water. Heaven was open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and resting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I dearly love. I find happiness in him." The Word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated, and even though it doesn't say so in the bulletin, if there are other young people who want to come down here, you come on down. Bring a parent or grandparent, that's perfectly all right. Today, we are going to celebrate something that we call baptism. And we are really, really fortunate in this congregation that we get to do a lot of baptisms. Almost every week, we have at least one and sometimes two. That's really exciting for me. Today we're remembering that Jesus chose to be baptized even though he didn't have to. But you see, he wanted to be like us in every way. And so a part of doing that was to have John the Baptist baptize him. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to ask all the folks here, including you, to remember your baptism and be thankful. Well, I don't know if you can remember your baptism because a lot of you were little babies when you were baptized. We're going to baptize Anna Lee, a little baby, here in just a few minutes. Now, I doubt that she's going to remember in years to come that she has been baptized, or this day. But she can remember that she has been baptized because her parents will remind her. They'll have a book to remind her. They'll be able to tell her stories about this day. Sometimes nothing much happens on the day. Sometimes the baby sleeps through the baptism. You know what? At the end, they're still baptized. Sometimes they scream through the baptism. And do you know what? At the end of it, they're still baptized. Because we believe that this is a way of God reaching out to say, "I love this child, and of us reaching out on God's behalf to say, we love this child, and we are going to help in any way we can to help this child grow up to be a follower of Jesus. Now, even if you can't remember the day you were baptized, I'm sure your parents have told you about it. And even if they haven't, I will tell you, for some of you, I remember your baptisms. And it was a day of celebration of God's love for you and for each and every one of us. So when you come up and when we put the little sign of the cross on your forehead in water and ask you to remember your baptism, what you can remember is that you are a beloved child of God and always will be. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for coming to us as one of us in Jesus. Thank you for his sharing in everything human, especially that he chose to be baptized. Thank you for reminding us on regular occasions how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you for coming down. When I was in seminary about 100 years ago, that's what it feels like, I had two wonderful examples of how one can learn by choosing the lower place. It was common for our professors to go on sabbatical. Frequently, when they went on sabbatical, they would go to Oxford or Cambridge or one of the German universities or Harvard or Yale, and they would do research. But we had a professor of systematic theology, of all things, Paul Rademacher, who, when he took his sabbatical, chose to serve a small local church. His colleagues were stunned. Why in the world would he choose to do that? He said, because I'm constantly teaching people who will be doing that, and I need to know what they're up against. I need to know what they're experiencing. In fact, he did what Jesus said. He didn't take the highest place in the pecking order of the academic world. He took the lowest place. In case you didn't know it, in seminaries, the lowest place is to serve a local church. I'm not sure it should be that way, but that's how it's considered. Another was our librarian, John Batzel. Instead of traveling the world to see the great libraries of the world, John decided to take a motorcycle trip across the country and take photographs. This was shortly after the books that some of you will remember, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. That may have inspired this trip, I don't know. But he came back with a slideshow. That's what we had before PowerPoint. And he also had collected a variety of songs. One of those was a song, an old country song, called When I Went Down to the Valley to Pray. Now, you know it in a different version. You know it in T-Bone Burnett's version, right? When I went down to the river to pray. What I want to focus on is that both of these professors chose to go down rather than up. They chose to descend rather than ascend. You know, I've heard these stories I get to preach on literally all my life and have been reading them for most of my life. And frequently, I will notice something I never noticed before, and that happened this time. In the passage that you heard Lisa read from the Gospel of Matthew, it is the very first time that Jesus is introduced in the Gospel as an adult. We have stories about his birth. We have stories about his going into Egypt. We have stories about the Magi in Matthew. We have stories then about them coming back, the Holy Family, to live in Nazareth. But this is the first time as an adult that we meet him. And the first time we meet him and the first words out of his mouth and the first thing that he does is to take the lower place. He comes to John and asks to be baptized, and John wants to argue with him. He says, no, you should be the one baptizing me. And Jesus says, no, if we're going to do this right, which is what righteousness means, if we're going to do this thing right, then you're going to have to baptize me. The very first act was an act of humility. The very first words out of Jesus' mouth were words of humility. Becoming one of us. The very fact of the incarnation, the fact that we as Christians claim that God became a human being, can you imagine any greater step down than that? That God chose to become human, to experience all that we experience as a human, even baptism, for repentance of our sins. Wow. He didn't have to do that. Jesus didn't have to do that. God didn't have to do that. I've mentioned before a book that I read several years ago that has really profoundly influenced me. It's by an Australian philosopher and professor. It's called Humilitas, about humility, by a man named John Dixon. And Dixon argues that humility as a virtue does not come into the world until the appearance of Jesus and the accounts of the Gospels. Prior to that, in every civilization that we know about that has left a written record, it is appropriate to brag on yourself, to trumpet your successes and have other people do that. PR is the biggest thing. To have your image out there everywhere so people can celebrate whatever victories you think you have won or perhaps actually have won is a virtue. In Greece, in Rome. And then you get Jesus. As I just mentioned, in the Gospel of Matthew, the very first thing he does is to put himself below John, which sets the tone for the rest of the gospel. A little bit later, he will be telling his disciples, when you go to a party, don't take the seat of honor, go to the last seat. He'll be telling his disciples, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. He will ultimately experience the most humiliating thing that a human being can experience during the era in which he lived. An execution for a crime by crucifixion. There is nothing more shameful. And yet, we are told that this is the Messiah. This is the one God chose to show us the way. There's no questioning why so many people didn't buy it. He didn't go around trumpeting his successes because he wasn't a success by the world standards. He didn't have gospel writers writing flashy biographies about how he conquered the world, how he threw the Romans out, how he took over the whole country, the whole world. No, they told the story as he lived it. His first words were words of humility. His first act was an act of humility, and all the way through, he chooses humility over pride, over greed, over all of the things that we tend to celebrate, that were celebrated in his own time. Dixon defines humility as holding one's power in the service of others. The first part of that is really important. It does not mean you are powerless. We have power. In this culture, because of where we were born and who we are, we have power. The question is, how are we going to use it, and how are we going to use it? We can choose to stand back and withhold our power, which means that we let the most powerful people around us dominate. Or we can use that power for ourselves. Or we can use that power in service of others. What Dixon argues is that those first two options were very common in the ancient world. To stand back and let other people use their power, or to use it for your own self-aggrandizement. But in Jesus, he said, the world got turned upside down. He used his power in the service of others, but he used his power. Do not forget, he was humble, but he drove the money changers out of the temple. He was humble, but he confronted the most powerful people in his own religious tradition and in the Roman Empire. He confronted them with a message of God's love that is more powerful than all the power they think they hold. It's kind of a hard thing to be called to a life of humility and then offered an example of humility like Jesus. From first to last, that's what he exhibited, but it didn't mean he was powerless, and it didn't mean he was not effective. The Roman Empire no longer exists. The temple no longer stands, but we are still gathering to tell the stories about this humble man. That's something. When we are baptized, when we have our children baptized, when we remember our baptism, we are taking vows of humility. A couple of weeks ago, I went through our baptismal vows, talking about them as New Year's resolutions for every new year. Well, I still think they are, but I did not go on to talk about what they signify. When we take these vows, we are vowing to be followers of Jesus, following his example as well as his teachings. And the first part of that, and you're going to say this in a few minutes, first part of that is that we repent of our sin. Sin is anything that separates us from God and our neighbor. If we're called to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, sin is anything that gets in the way. And often we are the ones who get in the way of loving God and loving our neighbor. To repent of your sin is to acknowledge your brokenness. To never ask for forgiveness means that you are completely unself-aware. We are all broken at some point. We all need forgiveness. To repent, to ask forgiveness from others, is the primary act of a follower of Jesus and a primary act of humility. And then we are asked if we're going to reject and work against evil, injustice, and oppression, which Jesus did. He didn't do it violently. He died in the process, but he set his life, his teachings, his actions against evil, injustice, and oppression in his own time, in whatever forms they presented themselves. And we are called to do the same thing. So when you remember your baptism, be thankful that we are called to resist those who practice evil, those who oppress others, no matter who they are. We can do that because, you see, in repenting, we've taken or attempted to take the log out of our own eye instead of focusing on the speck in our neighbor's eye. And then finally, we're going to say that we have no Lord but Jesus. That's it. No human being, no military leader, no celebrity, no sports star, no politician. We will follow Jesus as our Lord and put our whole trust in His grace. That's the only way we could stand to live a life of humility, to use the power we have to serve others. That's the only way we could have the stamina and the courage to resist the evil, injustice, and oppression around us everywhere, is if we knew that there was a power stronger than the powers of this world, and that power is the power of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ. We're going to ask you to remember your baptism and be thankful. And when we do, we're going to make the sign of the cross on your forehead. The sign of the cross on your forehead. No, it's not just a trinket to be put on a necklace or a bracelet. It is a reminder of the instrument of death that was used to attempt to humiliate Jesus. But they couldn't humiliate him because he was already humble. He had already chosen the lower place. As he said to Pilate, I could have armies of angels come down, but that's not how I roll. That's not how my kingdom works. I work in a different way, and my followers work in a different way. It can start by simply listening to people. That may be the simplest form of humility. Not being so concerned with asserting our own opinion or asserting our own whatever, but being able to open a space for another person to enter. We're going to try to do that tonight in this conversation about race. Hopefully we try to do that a lot around here, to open a space for another person to enter our lives and to genuinely listen and to hear them as a person, not just to respond, not just to argue against them, but to be able to hear them as a beloved child of God. Now, I'm going to embarrass her, but one of the things I appreciate most about my wife, Margaret, is her ability to listen to other people. I watch her at table with friends, or especially with people we don't know. She asks questions about them. She's interested in them. She opens a space for them. Me, I'm usually talking about myself. What's happening at church, you know? But she opens that space for other people to come into her life and genuinely cares about what they tell her. Now, I could learn from that. It's a very simple beginning, and it's a very simple first step. But I think it's a very important first step if we're going to begin to take steps toward healing the divisions that exist in our world. It's going to take humility from all sides, making room for another within our lives, opening up space. Because you see, in Jesus Christ, God opened up space for all of us. And the very first way God did it, the very first act that Jesus did according to the gospel, according to Matthew, as an adult, was to put himself in the lower place and ask John to baptize, insist that John baptize him. When we ask you today to remember your baptism, we're really just asking you to remember Jesus, who he was, who he is, and who we are as his followers. Thanks be to God. We are very fortunate because in the midst of our reaffirmation of baptism, we are going to actually experience a baptism. It'll be a little different than you're used to, but that's okay. I'm sure you will follow. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. This question is for all of us gathered here. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If you do, please say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If you do, please say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, please say, I do. If you all want to come up. It is a joy to celebrate the sacrament of baptism, even as we renew our baptismal covenant. This morning, Robert Tyler Roden and Nicole Lee Roden bring their daughter, Anna Lee Roden, to God before the community of faith for baptism. They have already answered the general questions we usually ask to the parents, and now we'll get to the specific questions. Nicole and Tyler, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, and by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, profess her faith openly, and lead a Christian life? Now, congregation, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those through the ark through water. After the flood, you sat in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Will you come to me, Miss Anna Lee? Would you come to me? Thank you. Okay. What name is given this child? Anna Lee, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You all want to lay hands on her? Anna Lee, the Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. Okay, you get to go back to Mommy. There. And if you all will come with me.
Will the congregation please stand and face Anna Lee? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Anna Lee to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Anna Lee.
We welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you, body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church,
we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of our church,
by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We are now invited to reaffirm our faith by remembering our baptisms. You may be seated. After the servers are in their places, you're invited to come forward by way of the center aisle and go to one of the servers who will be holding the water. There will be a station for each transept. There will be several stations in the front here. You in the balcony, just come on down and come to the nearest station to you. If you come by way of the center aisle, if you would like to kneel after the water has been placed on your forehead, you're welcome to, and then return to your seat by the side aisle. That's it. Okay. And now, friends, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born by water and the Spirit, you may be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you're a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We're glad you're here. We hope you'll join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall through the doors to your right following the service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you, answer any questions you might have. They'll be stationed both in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary, and you can find them with their blue name tags. If you're a student, either undergraduate or graduate, you're invited to join the student community for lunch following the 11 a.m. service, and they will gather in Reed Hall. In the pew racks in front of you, you'll find a gray card. On one side, you may record any comments for church staff and lay leadership. If you desire a callback, make sure to note that on the card. On the other side, please write down any prayer requests and make sure to note if they're to be shared or kept confidential. And you can place those cards in the offering plate in just a moment. Also, if you haven't done so already, please take a moment to record your attendance by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew. As it's being passed back, make sure to note who's worshiping with you this morning and greet them after the service. This morning, we are celebrating. Ella Kate Wiseman was born December 16th to Melissa and Rob Wiseman. She's also welcomed by her big brother, Carter Wiseman. And David Shelton Allen was born December 26th in Panama City, Florida, and he's welcomed by his parents, the Reverends Erica and Chris Allen. We also have some families we're mourning with this morning. Barbara Bundy died on Wednesday, January 11th. Services will be held Friday, January 20th. Visitation will begin at 1 in McWhorter Hall with a memorial service following at 3 in the sanctuary. Among her survivors are her son and daughter-in-law, Bill and Kim Bundy, her daughter, Libby Bacon, and her grandchildren, Will Miller and Lizzie Bundy. Debbie, Tim, and Caitlin Ferguson are mourning the death of Debbie's mother, Betty Cunningham Parker, who died Thursday, January 12th. Services were held Saturday, January 14th in Camden, Tennessee. And George Grigg passed away yesterday. We're mourning with his wife, Mary Ann, and service arrangements are yet to be determined for him. As people who have passed through the waters of baptism, let us make our grateful offering to God, our Redeemer.
Thank you.
And now I send you forth remembering that you are baptized, to whom you belong, holding your power to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the presence and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Go in peace.
Amen.